Welcome to Inside the Match, where Alex and Simone talk residency applications.
We are two residents here to help you navigate the match.
For each podcast, we'll bring you residents from various specialties and backgrounds to give advice. So today we are super excited to have Bhargava, who is a radiation oncology resident and is here to discuss with us hardships and challenges during medical school that he overcame and talked about during his residency application process. So thanks so much for joining us.
Of course, it's an honor to be on this.
Well, we are excited to learn more about your experiences. And currently you are an intern doing your transitional year, but you will be going on to your radiation oncology residency. So to learn more about you and your application, I want to ask you some rapid fire questions. Were you AOA?
No.
Were you gold humanism?
Yes.
Were you president of your specialty club in medical school?
Yes, I was.
And were you involved in research during medical school?
Yes, I was.
So many of us experience challenges during medical school, and I was wondering if you can tell us about some of your hardships that you experienced during the first year of medical school.
Okay, sure. So basically, there were a couple of different hardships that I experienced during my first year of medical school. The first thing to note that everyone goes through is that medical school is a huge adjustment. And part of this is that the volume of information conveyed in a short time is honestly really challenging. So with that already the case, additional hardships take on some more weight than they might, let's say, if you weren't in medical school. So the first was that my grandmother's health suddenly deteriorated as I started off school. And that was really tough for me as she was my only surviving grandparent. And with the nature of med school, I couldn't really pause or process as much as I wanted to, and she wasn't in the area. But it was tough, basically just being away from her mostly during that time. And another thing that made things difficult that year was that I took on a fairly heavy research load. I was preparing multiple abstracts for submission to a conference, and the combination of these things, as well as just generally struggling to adjust to med school, was something that led to me doing poorly on two exams and to go a little bit harder to do in med school.
There are so many challenges starting medical school, and you've described that you took on a lot of things and then also had struggles within your family. And so that led you to repeat the first year of medical school. And I'm curious what lessons you learned from that specific experience.
You have control of your own narrative, and it's very empowering to know that. I struggled, yes, but I chose to own that, and it became a catalyst for some positive change in me. It helped me find this passion for helping friends through their own struggles in med school. One example of this is that I would make motivational Facebook posts for friends in the lead up to our exams during my year that I was repeating. Basically try to help people acclimate to med school and let them know that there's a community here that supports them. So that desire to help my friends, peers, and so on was a big reason that I was able to press forward through all the struggles that inevitably did occur throughout the rest of med school. And it's something that continues to motivate me. And so I think one thing that is important to note is that everyone has failures at some point, even though society at large and our profession in particular as one of high achievers is not always inclined towards discussing it, but it's very comforting knowing you're not alone in having had setbacks, and that can help you press forward and can indeed help someone else press forward, and it gives you and others a chance to pay it forward. So I think that there's a quote that goes, my struggle became my strength. And I believe that we all have the power to make that happen. So I think that's one of the big lessons that I got from this. And the second big lesson that I learned from this is something that is more practical than motivational, but I think is important nonetheless. So it's always okay to say no, or can I do this later, or to ask for help. And part of why I struggled ultimately in carving out time for the exams is that I placed emphasis on abstracts that I was working on. And since then, I've learned that it's okay to email your mentor to let them know that you're a little swamped and could use some more time to finish something up. And whenever I've done that since then, my mentors have been understanding, and everything has worked out fine. So remember that they've been in our shoes before and they understand, and good mentors are invested in your success as a person and as a mentee. So
you provided us so many ways in which we can learn from those setbacks throughout medical school, residency, and our careers, because like you said, failure happens no matter where you are in this process. And it's really learning from those experiences and being able to talk about them is key. And that's where we come to the interview process for residency. So I'm wondering if anyone asked you questions on the interview trail about repeating that first year of medical school and how you answered these questions when they were asked of you.
I'll start with mine as an example. So first part is acknowledging the failure. I mentioned why I struggled with it, and I owned up to my mistakes or my struggles, and then mentioned what lessons there were to be learned from them, and talked about how I did not repeat the same mistakes thereafter, and I improved, and I ended up being successful. I made the point in particular that my experience has actually served as a blueprint for future success in doing something that's meaningful to me in terms of uplifting my peers. So I think the big thing is basically owning up to what ever setbacks you've had, and then how you've used them to improve, and how they form a part of your narrative that is either positive or that gave you some insight into how to succeed that you didn't have before. So in terms of the key elements of this, the first thing again is to take responsibility for the failure, acknowledge it, and the mistakes you made. The key thing here is, as much as possible, don't blame whether yourself or others. Focus on this happened, I learned from it, and then I either proceeded to succeed thereafter, or I succeeded thereafter, and part of that is because I learned certain lessons from this experience with failure.
I love those elements for framing a narrative, for taking responsibility for the failure, for acknowledging it, for discussing the lessons you've learned, and then showing that you've learned from your mistakes. Those are wonderful ways to guide someone through talking about it, discussing it in your personal statement, and moving forward. And, you know, part of me wonders, throughout medical school, we meet with advisors who give us advice on specialties that we may or may not be competitive for. And so I'm curious how your mentors helped you during the application process at times when you may have felt that applying to a competitive specialty may have been more of a challenge.
So my mentors helped me by reassuring me that I was a solid candidate, or that, let's say, I should apply to certain programs for away rotations that I might be a good fit for. And so even though I had my doubts, they reassured me. And the biggest thing that a mentor can do, honestly, is to believe in you and your potential, and you figure out how to maximize that potential. Because sometimes it's hard for us to see what we're capable of, because, well, it's a lot easier for someone who's outside of us to see that. Oftentimes I feel like, because we might be mired in our own self-doubt. So my mentors helped me with that, and they helped me with writing my application, figuring out where to do ways, and also sometimes putting in a good word for me prior to interviews if they had done residency with someone, let's say. So both attendings and peer mentors/current residents were super helpful. And
so you mentioned some awesome advocates for you during this journey, and some people might feel overwhelmed that they don't have that person they can go to discuss some of their deficiencies or provide them advice in regards to moving forward with the specialty that they are really interested in. So I'm wondering if you have any tips for finding a mentor during this process, especially one that you can be honest with and someone that you can discuss some of your deficiencies so that they can help you move forward and assist with the application process.
Yeah, so there are two basic ways to approach this. One is to do something that that people have done for a while, which is to find someone whose work excites you or that you have something in common with. Like, let's say that you were on the same community health organization during med school or undergrad, or you're from the same hometown, reach out to them via email, mentions 1 to 2 lines about your interest in their work in particular that shows you've done your homework, and indicate that you want to work with them. If it's someone in your specialty that you seek to apply to, mention that. So that's the way that people have done this conventionally. And with that, the key is to send as many of these emails as you can until you connect with someone who you feel you would work well with. Sometimes you might not hear from people, and that can be the nature of things because of how busy people are, but it isn't a reflection of you necessarily. It's just people are busy and sometimes emails get missed. So with that said, I would consider following up once politely after that if it's someone you really want to work with. Twitter has kind of stepped into the fold, and it's people are constantly, there are so many people on Twitter who want to mentor and help. So oftentimes, like, all you need to do is basically create a Twitter account and then tweet, I'm looking for mentors in this particular area. Like, let's say someone tweeted, I'm looking for mentors in radiation oncology. And then maybe to help narrow things down a bit, you can say what particular area you're interested in, like prostate cancer or health disparities. And then MedTwitter will use the hashtag MedTwitter. MedTwitter will get to work and help you connect with someone. Check specialty related spreadsheets. Oftentimes applicants who match a particular programs will leave their emails in the spreadsheet. That was something that was done for Radonc, for instance. And I made really good friends and wonderful peer mentors through just cold emailing people off of the spreadsheet. Another thing that people have done historically is to find mentors at conferences. So go to people's talks and then go up to them after with a question or two and discuss your interest in it and ask whether you can keep in touch with them and ask any questions you have. Again, people are more willing to help out than you think. So just ask, and I think you'll be very pleasantly surprised and happy with what you find.
So true. We love those tips for being able to find a mentor. And just like you said, it takes someone to ask. And even if they don't respond, you can move on to someone else. There's lots of opportunities to find mentors in the space in medicine. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes when we're going through hardships, so we really need those around us to support us through the challenges and setbacks. So I'm wondering, for those who want to support a friend that's undergoing challenges, whether it be a class failure or a USMLE COMLEX failure, what are some things that you would advise them do to help out their friend?
So I think the biggest thing is to listen and check in with them to see if they're doing okay emotionally. When you experience these setbacks, it can be a bit of a blow to the ego. So sometimes they might hesitate to talk about it, but honestly, knowing that you are there for them, whether it's being with them physically or like studying with them or offering them some of your notes if they've missed something, I think that having some company and knowing you're not alone is very powerful in itself, and let them know that you're there to help them out however you can. Offer them resources
We love those ideas, especially the one in regards to note writing. And if you are struggling, you can reach out and ask someone, even if they don't offer. Just the similar way that you would ask a mentor for help, you can ask one of your classmates to help you out in these scenarios as well. So, you know, you had research as a large part of your application, and I'm wondering if you have any tips for those that are looking to find a research project, especially those that may have a deficiency and want to enhance their application.
Email mentors whose interests align with yours and ask them if they have projects in your area of interest or if a peer might. Generally, I would keep these emails concise, and then after you get a response, you can elaborate more what's needed to get your foot in the door. Don't hesitate to ask for help, especially if you're new to this. They'll be able to point you to someone, or again, you can go back to Twitter and ask, does someone have experience in this? And are you willing to help me out in learning more about this? And people will come and help you. And again, I want to highlight how much people are willing to help out. And if nothing else, if you're lost, reach out to a resident or someone else like that, and see if, or someone who's maybe an upperclassman who's going into the field that you are, and see if they have any, if they know who to reach out to for projects, and they'll be willing to help you or connect you with people they know, and that will also help open the door for you. So again, the main theme is asking, and that honestly opens up so many doors.
No, those are such wonderful pieces of guidance. And also the fact that there are lots of conferences, big, small, ones that are regional, ones that are national, that are promoted on social media, that are accepting those poster presentations from medical students. And so even submitting to a conference, your project is something that you can easily do, and you may find it on social media. You know, you have shared so many awesome tips with us to prepare for this residency application journey. Whether or not someone does have a deficiency, you have showed us the importance of talking about it and the importance of learning from it. So I'm wondering if there's anything else that you would like to add in order to help others through this residency application journey.
We all have our own unique gifts and our own unique way to contribute. Never doubt that about yourself.
Well, Bhargava, thanks so much for providing all of this insight. We'd like to end our podcast by having you share a fun fact, totally unrelated to setbacks, to medicine, but something about you that you'd like to share.
I'm really passionate about making bubble tea. My dream is to open up a bubble tea shop one day with empowering messages on the walls, so people can go there and either celebrate or commiserate and move forward and hopefully leave the shop with a smile on their face, or at the very least, the will to press forward to go for their dreams. So that's my dream. And
well, Bhargava, you have accomplished so much, and I love following your Dr. Boba MD even to learn more about all those bubble tea experiences. So that's all the time we have today with Bhargava. Thanks for joining us at Inside the Match. Special thanks to Kevin McLeod for the music, and be sure to follow or subscribe to our podcast. Catch our next podcast to learn more application tips and hear from another awesome resident or leader in medical education.